Good morning and a very happy new year to you all. It's very good to be with you in a manner of speaking this morning. I think this is a first for Warfield to have a sermon delivered in this way. And I certainly think it's the first time that I've preached to two or three people and a video camera, or is it several video cameras? I have to say it is a little bit odd, but here we go. Doing this type of video for the first time did, of course, make me think about how and where we should do this recording. Should I sit sideways at a table with a Christmas tree behind me, a la Her Majesty? Or should I walk along a beach somewhere with the wind gently blowing my hair behind me? Well, in the interests of time and resources, good lighting on a dark evening when this is recorded, and available buildings, here we are. Suffice to say that this is a bit of an experiment, so please bear with me and the wonderful tech team who have made this possible. If it's not quite perfect first time round, we're learning as we go along. I'm recording this on what is, in fact, the eve of the anniversary of my induction service last year. On this same Wednesday evening last year, this building was somewhat fuller than it is now, as we gathered for a wonderful evening of celebration of God's faithfulness and the beginning of a new era in the life of Warfield Church. This year, I am naturally full of reflections on the year that has been, as I've begun to get to know you here in Warfield as people and as congregations. I'm thankful to God for the last year, and I'm thankful to all of you, too, for being fellow pilgrims on a journey and for being part of the amazing part of the body of Christ, which is Warfield Church. A new year, and for me, an anniversary of the beginning of a new ministry, is a natural time for both looking back and looking forwards. My parents used to have a card on the wall at home which said something like, "For all that has been, thanks, and for all that will be, yes." I think those are great words. I'm not, I have to say, particularly into New Year's resolutions. I think I became disillusioned many years ago now by how quickly such resolutions faded away for me and for many others. But I am into stopping and reflecting. I am into looking ahead. I do think it's a good thing to think about what our hopes and dreams, and therefore our prayers, are for the year ahead. And I think it's good to be intentional about our walk with God and with each other. And all of that is partly why I decided to preach this sermon in this way to present to you this week. So before I go any further, let's pause to pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together in our different congregations this morning. And we pray that this morning and in the year ahead, you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Would you help us to see the glorious hope to which you have called us? And as we look at your word this morning, and as we think about the year ahead, we pray that by your Spirit, wherever we are, you would speak to us, and that you would open our hearts and move within us, that we would be challenged and inspired, and that together we might be more effective as part of your body here in Bracknell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's some time ago now since the SLT, the senior leadership team, began to look at and pray for 2019. And as we did, we felt that we were called to name it as a year of hope, a year when hope would be restored and enlarged, a year when we would be encouraged and have our vision and our faith widened and deepened. Across Warfield Church, and particularly impacting some teams and congregations, it's a year of hope in a very practical sense, as we rebuild the staff team and have a fuller staff team than we've had here for a couple of years. Just in case anyone missed the announcement in the comings and goings of Christmas, we have already announced the wonderful news that we have two new associate ministers joining us in March, working particularly with St. Michael's and St. Peter's, and with Eternity Bulbrook and St. Andrew's. And by the time you hear this, the PCC, the Church Council, will have met to consider plans for recruiting support staff, and I hope we'll be able to press ahead with that in the next few weeks. So it's a year of hope in very practical terms. But it's also a year of hope spiritually. One of the Bible passages which became key for us in the early months of last year was Isaiah 43, where God declares that he is doing a new thing. I very much believe that as we've gone through 2018, we have begun to see the first signs of new growth across our congregations. Virtually every week, there are new people in our congregations. Some of them have become regular new members and have told of how welcomed they've felt and they've signed up to give regularly to the work of God through Warfield Church. I've heard of individuals say how important church has been to them through difficult months over the past year. I've seen people stepping out and doing new things for God. In at least two of our congregations, the children's work is growing because more children are there on a Sunday. These, I believe, are first signs, and I believe that God has much more in store for us in 2019. We are on a journey together, and I believe that this is a year of hope, not just practically, but spiritually too, as we continue to explore the new thing that God is doing amongst us. And it's a year of hope in a biblical sense, i.e. that's not in the sense of, I hope this bus might come soon, or I hope I might win the lottery, even though I've never actually bought a ticket, but hope in the sense of certainty in the promises and purposes of God, which will be worked out. And as we step into this new year, I want to offer us one particular verse of Scripture as our verse for the year, one that we can keep coming back to, one that can be, if you like, our theme tune for the year ahead. And it's this. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We'll come back to that verse again, so do watch this space. But in the meantime, you might like to take the challenge of making it a memory verse. In fact, maybe there'll be a prize for the first adult and the first child who can come and tell me that verse from memory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. But today I also want to take us into those two passages from the first letter of Peter, which you will have just heard. Speaking of the living hope and the living stones. And I want us to think about how we can all be part of this amazing God adventure of hope which lies before us in the coming year. Back at the carol service here in St. Michael's before Christmas, I spoke about how we all have a story of life, a story of the year that has been. And I spoke too of how God has a story. It's called His Story, His Story. The invitation of the Incarnation, which we have just celebrated at Christmas, is how might our story be combined with His story? How might God's story become our story? And how might we make an impact on history? I referred to the Eucharistic prayer, the communion prayer that we sometimes use, which has the refrain, this is his story, this is our song, but which turns into, this is our story, this is our song. In a very profound way, through the incarnation and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, his story becomes our story. Important too, though, is that it does not become my story, but our story. We are in this together as the body of Christ. So let's take a look then at this first passage from the first letter of Peter. I'm not even going to attempt to give you a page number, but hopefully in your congregation somebody has already given you one if you've got Bibles available. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 4 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. What an amazing reality that is. In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he is taking us into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade or perish. The truth is, we were all born into a family. And that is one of those things in life that we have no control over. The fact is that we will inherit certain things. We'll inherit certain genes and perhaps health patterns. We'll inherit patterns of behavior. We might inherit family function or dysfunction. We might inherit a certain type of upbringing. And to a certain extent, we inherit our position within society. And of course, there are different levels of financial inheritance. Never, ever did I stand to inherit as much as I would have done had I been born into an aristocratic or landowning family. But, on the other hand, although I don't imagine I stand to inherit a huge amount, I am likely to inherit considerably more than many people in this country, and certainly in the world. But I have no control over any of that. For better or for worse, we will inherit certain things from the family that we are born into. Well, here, Peter reminds us that we have a new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance which will not perish or spoil or fade. The inheritance of heaven is for us, and that is amazing. And it's interesting that both here and in the Ephesians verses that I've offered as verses for the year, hope and inheritance are linked together. And we might like to ponder that a little more as we go through the year. Peter goes on to say that in this you greatly rejoice. And later he says this in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. An inexpressible and glorious joy. That's another theme that I preached on back last summer, and which I believe God wants to restore to us here in Warfield. He wants us to know deep and inexpressible joy. Finally, at the end of that verse, those verses that we read from 1 Peter, he speaks, as I just read, of the goal of our faith being the salvation of our souls. And I want just for a minute to connect that to our vision here in Warfield Church. Hopefully you are all familiar with our slogan that we are about connecting people to Jesus. You may be less familiar with the other two phrases which go with that, which are equipping those people for works of service and releasing them into their God-given calling. Connecting, equipping, and releasing. The goal of faith and the salvation of souls, which Peter speaks about, is precisely about connecting people to Jesus, helping all those in the communities we serve to realize the inheritance that can be theirs and to experience the salvation which Jesus came to give them. As we realize our inheritance and as we take hold of it, we will be equipped for works of service. And we will walk in the calling that God has given to us. That calling will be in part individual to each one of us, and in part it will be the same for us all. It will be a collective calling to us as a church and to us as congregations. Our second passage from 1 Peter picks up on one of the things that we are all called to be. Indeed, which we are becoming as we come in praise and worship to the one who is the living stone. You also, says Peter, are like living stones, and you are being built up as living stones. And he goes on to say, you are a chosen people. Peter uses that image of living stones, strongly connected, of course, for the Jewish people to the temple and to the worship of God, and that they're part of his story through the ages. Peter uses that image of being built up into a spiritual house, a place which is honouring to God. There is, of course, a challenge here, because living stones is a bit of a misnomer. Perhaps it's a bit of a mixed metaphor. The challenge is that not only do stones, like living things, come in different shapes and sizes, but living things move and change, and they might have feelings, and that means that we bump against each other, and it's not always very comfortable. But that doesn't mean that we are to back out or back down. If we are truly seeking to live lives which honour and worship God, then we are being built as living stones into this whole building. And that means that there is a place for us all. There are no stones left on the side that aren't part of the whole. No, this is for all of us. This is about living together. It's about serving together. It's about praying together. It's about giving sacrificially to the work of God, both our time and our money. This isn't about leaving it to others. It's not about leaving it to the bigger stones or the smaller stones or the more perfectly formed stones or the shinier ones or the rougher ones. No, this is about all of us as living stones being built together into a spiritual house and being in this together. I feel like I've scratched the surface and that there's so much more that I could say, but time doesn't allow. But I want us to go away with these two things ringing in our ears. That this year, 2019, is a year of hope. And that together this year, we will seek to discover and to walk within the inheritance which Christ has for us here in Warfield. And to see more of the good things that he wants to do amongst us. And secondly, that as we come to the living hope, we come to the living stone, and we too are to be living stones, all together playing our part in building the kingdom of God here in this place, and playing our part in connecting people to Jesus, equipping those people for works of service, and releasing them into their God-given potential. I want to encourage all of us, wherever you are, however old you are, however long or short a time you have been connected to Warfield, to commit ourselves to being part of this building by worshipping together, by praying together, by giving of ourselves, our money and our time, by opening our homes to one another in hospitality, by meeting with one another to pray and to read the Bible together, and by learning again or for the first time what it really means to be a community of believers together and to draw others to Jesus in the process. There'll be a way symbolically later in your service to demonstrate that commitment. But I would love all of us to think about, what does that look like for me? How can I put myself into this new way at the beginning of this new year? Maybe you could spend some time praying or journaling about it. Maybe you could have a conversation in your families about what this looks like for each of you or for you as a household. Maybe you could have a conversation in your life groups or when you meet with a prayer partner. What does it look like for you to be a living stone who is being built up into this spiritual temple, this place of worship and honour to God? There are some things that will look different for all of us. There are some things that will look similar for all of us. But let's not dodge the challenge of working out what it looks like for us. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by others but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you for all that you are calling us to be and to become. And we pray that for each of us, as individuals and as part of congregations and as part of Warfield Church as a whole, and as part of your church worldwide, please would you help us to hear your call to us, to be built into a spiritual house which honours you. And Father, we pray that in this year of 2019, we might know the hope to which you have called us and the glorious inheritance which you have for us. So, Father, would you do amazing things amongst us in this year ahead, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.